Goldman Sachs says that gold and silver set the pace and oil will catch up. Goldman Sachs argues that investor positioning, as opposed to fundamentals, is driving the current commodity rally. Metals benefit most because of the smaller market size and inelastic supply, with gold the cleanest expression. Copper may cool, but oil will catch up as a capital rotation broadens across hard assets.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. This is the Goldfix Market Rundown. Today, China signals investors to dump more treasuries in the news and in the analysis. Goldman Sachs says gold and silver will set the pace and oil will catch up now. It's the era of real assets. China is telling its banks to pull back from U.S. treasuries. And while officials call it risk management, markets are starting to read it as something a little bit more structural. We'll have some observations on that as well. Gold and silver are leading a real asset rotation driven by investor flows. And if Goldman is right, oil is next in line to feel the same treatment. Let's do the markets. Here's the homepage. 10-year yields are up almost 4. The dollar is down 48. The S&P 500 is down 4. The NASDAQ is down 185. The VIX is up 77. Gold is up $47 and change at 5,015. Silver is 80.22, off its highs, but still very strong, up $2.28. The silver Shanghai COMEX, what's called the Shanghai COMEX spread or basis, is trading 6. So it's in a narrow range. It's as we predicted it would, and that would be, Eric and I had a conversation about this, and we shared it with you all, and that was the correction. They fixed the China fund, and now the spread will remain a rather robust $6. But not robust enough to shut the market down. So now it's going to become more of an efficient prognosticator of price. Be harder to get a lot of good information out of it now that it's settled down, you know? WTI is up 18. Natural gas is down a jaw-dropping 38 cents, down over 9%. I guess it's going to get warm next week. $3.87 is where it's trading. Palladium down $18. Platinum down $41. Gold, silver at 62, down 1. And grains are mixed, with soy down a penny, trading $11 and change. Here's the homepage. That's the most popular story we've ever done. Silver reckoning. The U.S. is squeezing China out. That's something that we will put up there from time to time when more information comes out about it. So, for example, last week, there's now a story on Bloomberg as of yesterday that said China is taking a harder stance with the United States on Taiwan since it started to get pushed out of Latin America, which is something that we said on December 27th with regards to silver as being the canary in the coal mine on that. Anyway, it's something to look into. It's a very big, silver is a very big geopolitical indicator in the world right now. It is the canary. Let's go to the stories. First story, China signals investors to dump more treasuries. Now, this is kind of suspicious, but let's read it first. Chinese regulators have advised major banks to curb or reduce U.S. Treasury exposure, citing concentration and volatility risks. The guidance excludes state reserves and avoids geopolitical framing, but it underscores a longer-term diversification trend as investors reassess U.S. debt, market stability, and the evolving global safe haven landscape. Okay, so they're telling investors and banks that manage investors' money in China to pare down on your treasury holdings. I have a lot of problems with this, but let's go through the facts a little bit first. They're not changing their rate of de-dollarization at the state level, but they are warning people. Now, why would they do that? I mean, I'm just calling them out on this. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just do it? That's all they ever do. When China wants to do something, they tell their banks to do it. They're signaling. That's why I use that word, signals. They're trying to demonstrate that they have influence over the market. Not unlike what Europe was doing 2 weeks ago, So I kind of feel like little by little, Europe and China are aligning in their attacks on the U.S. financial side. Now, it's not to say this is a waste of time. They're doing it, they're saying it, and it has had an effect on the market. If nothing else, they're demonstrating that they can move the market a little bit. Well, how much they move the market? Well, only 3 basis points in U.S. Treasuries, but that's enough. That's enough to make you say, whoa, if they say something, the market reacts to it. They're not just whistling Dixie anymore. And when the yields go up and the dollar goes down at the same time, that's bad, as this chart shows. That's the opposite of American exceptionalism. So we would say, we think this is political posturing. We think this is flexing. And we think it does have some merit. But if they really wanted to sell treasuries, they'd just sell them. Goldman Sachs says that gold and silver set the pace and oil will catch up. Goldman Sachs argues that investor positioning, as opposed to fundamentals, is driving the current commodity rally. Fundamentals are great, don't get me wrong. But metals benefit most because of the smaller market size and inelastic supply, with gold the cleanest expression. Copper may cool, but oil will catch up as a capital rotation broadens across hard assets. Goldman is giving oil the gold treatment now. They're not talking about only oil here. They're talking about the whole commodity complex, but you can just see the funnel is going gold to oil, gold to oil, gold to oil. That's going to come next. That's what we think anyway. But this is a very thorough, very lengthy report on why real assets are back. The fundamentals are all there. Every commodity has its own reason for going up. Gold is being monetized. Silver, they can't get it to where it's supposed to be. Copper is not enough of it for electrification. Every commodity has got its own excuse to go up, but every commodity is going up. So oil is probably going to be next. Obama ran, maybe. Who knows? But that was just sent out, or you'll be getting it in your mailbox later on this morning. And there's all the posts that we put up over the weekend. A lot of news. Hartnett, Founders, Sunday Recap and Portfolio Discussion. We went through our portfolio and the trades that we put on the last 48 hours, last two trading days, I should say. And so far, so good. A lot of news. Warsh, the candidate for Fed chair, he basically said he's pro-yield curve control. He's like for a strong bond between the Treasury and the Fed. That's like saying he's pro-yield curve control. So to paraphrase Zero Hedge, the markets are acting like this guy is such a hawk, but he's not. So my question to you is, what is the market acting on then, if it's not him being a hawk? I think the market's acting on AI is a bubble, AI is overinflated, and at the same time, AI is going to get people unemployed. I think the market is reacting to that. I don't know. But certainly, if the market is reacting, when you read a headline, it says, blah, 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 market lower because of Warsh, I think it's idiotic. Either the market's wrong or the person giving you the headline is wrong. Anyway, Bessent blames gold rally dump on China. Interesting that the treasurer is talking about gold again. He's saying the gold spike and dump. I guess he has to get it out of the headlines. The gold spike and dump was basically China being a loose cannon with their own risk management. That's what he said. So he laid it at their feet, and he simultaneously used that to say the dollar is strong. So I saw this as a take a little bit of a dump in China's backyard. And, you know, it was their problem because of silver, and then say the dollar is fine. G flexes on Trump with Taiwan. That's our coverage of the Bloomberg story that basically says the call that Z and Trump had was very geopolitically tense, even though it wasn't reported as much that way. They're flexing as well. They have to, you know, look, China's no different than the U.S. When Xi says, I'm going to kill you if you bomb Taiwan, I'm going to bomb Taiwan. When China, they're just saber rattling like we are. You know, Xi's got a popularity contest he has to deal with too as well over there. It's not all about them being honest and us being liars. They lie as much or more, if not, than us. Russia gold reserves are at new all-time highs. You know that story. Data on deck, big week for data, unemployment, CPI, retail sales, and home sales. So Monday is speakers, Tuesday retail sales, Wednesday unemployment, Thursday home sales, existing home sales, I believe, and Friday CPI. And that's the data for the week. We would ask you to please buy a hat, to make silver great again and make gold great again. Let's take a look at the charts. I'm starting with oil today. We have the system that I have used that we had a very, very, very nice trade on in gold in October, November, is setting up for one in oil. Now, before, I'm not going to be euphoric about this, but this is a weekly one, and it's in oil, and it's by the numbers. There's no stretching of the imagination here. It's by the numbers. If the market gets above, I put my little alert in, the market gets above 65.95 and settles there, so basically that's the recent high, we're going to run. We should run. Okay, now, before I get euphoric, this will not, look, the gold one is the best one. Talking to the traders in the group and in the chat room, the gold one is the best one I've ever had. Okay, so the oil one, if it comes, could take us as high as 76, but I would be happy with 72. So this is going to be a 1 to 3 week trade if it happens. The caveat is I've noticed over the last, we should have had one here, false breakout. We had a false breakout lower, a false breakout on my system, a VBS that got negated, a VBS that got, this wasn't a VBS, believe it or not, a VBS that got negated lower, a VBS that got negated higher, a VBS that went nowhere. So we've had a lot of false breakouts, almost as if the market's being managed. So let's see if this isn't a false breakout. So my comment would be, since we've had so many false breakouts, it could lead to a much better breakout. But because we have had so many false breakouts, you'd want to be more interested in expressing it with options probably right now, because they're probably very cheap because of all these false breakouts and all these people losing money, and your risk reward will be really good. Mind you, oil calls are not like gold calls. When the market goes up, oil vol could come in. So you would want to express a call trade in oil if you were to do it. A call spread, not because volatility is high, like I said with silver, for a different reason. You have a put skew market in oil, and if the market rallies, volatility could come in as it rallies, kind of like the stock market. So you'd want to buy like an at the money. You don't want to buy anything. You don't want to do anything I'm doing. This is what I'm thinking about doing, buying an at the money and selling a 30 delta call if you can stomach the premium. But that's oil. Silver. Let's go to the daily for silver. All right. So what you're looking at is you're looking at, oh, that's not right. Let me fix that chart. Okay. The dotted line is silver, Western silver. The candle is China silver. So you can see when the market was way up here, the spread between China and Western silver was massive. It caught up again, and now it's tracking the market. It's going to expand and contract. It's going to be a little bit better. Just be aware of it. It's kind of like lease rates, okay? Lease rates are normalizing right now. I would say that the lease rates spiked when the market dropped the other day in London, and that's a sign that London's pulling metal. So be aware, London's a buyer of metal now. Maybe London's back in business. A lot of metal left the COMEX. A lot of metal left China and went to London. A lot, not a huge amount, not a headline amount. Just enough to make you say that, okay, London is pulling the metal right now. So maybe some things going on. There's hoarding going on. Everyone is hoarding. Everyone's taking turns. It's all happening. Let's go to a daily. Let's see if we can come up with some decent levels today. Start with gold. Let's give Poly a shot. Again, I like this 8. Didn't give us a 9, right? This is very close to not being a bear flag at all. Remember I said it's a bear flag. It could go back down. All right, so on the daily, Poly says be long above 49.64 with potential run up to 54.15. But that's the daily. Don't get crazy with that yet, because if we go below 49.64, we can wash out as well. Weekly's probably going to, look at that. That's like that's a doji, spinning top or something like that. All right, that's no help. Let's go intraday. That's going to be helpful. I would like to see this market go sideways for another 6 hours, and then we can have a signal for a short-term move higher or lower, but preferably higher. Waiting for Polly to come up. There we go. Tight levels on the hourly. Yeah, it's basically the range, the bottom, the top, the inside. Yeah, so you would want to get, it's real simple, folks. You'd want to get long above this and short below that. You want to get long above this with a stop out if we go back into this. And look at this as a big frozen lake or ice pond. If we get out of it, we're going to run. If we get below it, if we get back into it, we're going to skate back to the bottom. Otherwise, it's nothing really exciting. Let's go to the 4 hour. But it's enough to be, the 4 hour is looking really good, actually. I apologize. That means the 2 hour is probably perfect. No. No, we stay with the 1 hour. The 1 hour, getting close. Look, the market's higher. We got a fish hook. Actually, I'll say that. I'll say that for you. We talked about this on Sunday. Let me find my get rid of these Bollinger Bands. Get rid of Poly and go to the daily. And that, my friends, this, not this, this was a fish hook right here. The market open interest came in, came in, came in, came in, came in, came in again. Came in, open interest came in, and then went up a little bit. So it started to turn. So now you've got new money getting in. So unless we get above 5086, give or take, you're in a range, right? You're not out of the woods yet, but we see the daylight coming through the trees. We're almost out of this bear flag form, this potential bear flag formation. I'm Vince. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Vince, for this morning's show. And thank you at home for watching and tuning in. Sure appreciate you being here and hope that the show is a great start to your day, whether gold and silver goes up or down on any given day. But nice to be here with all of you and would like to pass along a note. We did have Jim McDonald from Kootenay Silver join us on the show last week. It was really interesting as he's running one of the companies that actually does have the ability to greenlight projects. We talked with him a lot about what the thought process is like for a mining company where now you're seeing the big swings in the silver price. And he also talked about how that could affect the additional supply coming online, and especially for people looking for a company that has leverage to the silver price. Well, certainly Kootenay Silver qualifies as one of those. And here's a quick excerpt from the interview I did with Jim. You do have significant leverage to the silver price, which is something that certainly some people are definitely looking for.
Well, yeah, we do. We have an awful lot of ounces in the ground. We've got 214 million silver equivalent ounces in the measured indicated category, and another 109 million in the inferred in four deposits now. So that gives you a lot of leverage to the silver price. And one of our objectives here with La Ceguera is to do that PEA. And if we are right and we can, the PEA comes out with very positive numbers for that deposit, well, then now we're showing, hey, some of these ounces are economic now. And so, and we've put ourselves then on the path of being a developer as opposed to a discoverer and explorer, increasing the size of resources. We become somebody who's going down the path of developing a mine. And at the same time, drilling off our other project, Columba, to get it up to a size that can support a mine build as well.
Well, thank you, Jim. Sure appreciate that. Nice to have him back on the show. And in case you missed that one last week, I think it's even more relevant now given what we've seen since that was recorded. And to find out more, just click on the video coming your way now.